exposing the changing worldviews behind the issues that are fundamentally changing our nation and world, The Sharon Hughes Show starts now.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
Calling your vaccine requirements an overreach. You are threatening to challenge it in court.
Have at it.
The current administration is heaping praise on the terror group, the Taliban. Ned Price at the State Department seemed to say it's not time to pass judgment on the Taliban just yet, in the midst of them being called professional and saying that they are cooperating.
This has long-term national security consequences, and I think Secretary Blinken's going to have a lot of answering to do.
This whole experience will traumatize all of our governments. I'm talking about Western governments.
The Palestinian Authority is giving its complete support to the terrorists who escaped. They're justifying it. They're literally telling their people to offer aid. You see them, give them food, give them transportation. Do it quietly. Don't talk about it.
No one really knew what was going on with the plane going into the World Trade Center. As I said, we were thinking that a pilot had a heart attack or something, or whatever. We couldn't imagine would be any kind of a terrorist type attack. There was a group of individuals who would go to the Special Ops Center, and we would be running the military from that point. So I was en route to go to that special location at the time of the impact.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show today. So threats are everywhere, right? I mean, we live up here in the Sierra Nevada foothills, and pictures have been taken by our neighbors of bears roaming the neighborhood. We've even had our garbage can ravished, if you will, by one. I guess that's a kind of threat, but it's nothing compared to what's going on in our nation right now, including tyranny. Some might think that's a pretty strong word to use to describe the Biden administration, but let's see. Let's look at what Merriam-Webster says about what tyranny means. It means oppressive power, including over the mind of man, especially power exerted by governments, even a police state. It also means a government in which absolute power is vested in a single ruler, or an oppressive, harsh, unjust act. Of course, I'm initially referring to here as regards to the vaccine mandates that Joe Biden's draconian COVID executive orders were announced this past week. But are they constitutional? So we're going to take a look at that. And we're also going to look at Afghanistan from a little different view. I mean, the news is flooded with all the information going on as a result of the Biden administration's withdrawal of our troops and the catastrophes, the disasters, the inhumane acts of leaving Americans and allies behind. But what does this mean for other nations? What does this mean for our greatest ally in the Middle East, Israel? And of course, we have to look at the fact that the Biden administration is saying the jihadists are not or no longer the biggest threat facing the U.S. Do you know what they say is? Well, we're going to talk about all this. And then in the second half of the show, with this week being the 20th anniversary since the 9/11 terrorist attacks on America, my interview with a lieutenant colonel who was in the Pentagon when those attacks occurred. You do not want to miss one bit of today's show. We're going to pack a lot into this 1 hour.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, taking you to the front lines and behind the scenes.
Tyranny. Did you ever think that it would actually become a reality here in America? I mean, we talk about it. We talk about the threat of it. We talk about this law or that law is taking away our freedoms. We talk about overreach of government. But actually, with what has gone on this past week with Joe Biden announcing his executive order regarding COVID, I don't know about you, but it made me sick to my stomach to hear him say what he said and what his six-pronged approach is. And in case you missed that, we'll tell you what those are. But there's one thing he said specifically that is extremely troubling. See if you can see what I'm thinking.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
What? Your patience is wearing thin? What is that? I mean, are we little children and you're correcting us? Besides, what about the patience of the American people in how you are handling the devastating outcome of how you withdrew troops from Afghanistan and Americans are left behind? But I digress.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
What?
This is not about freedom or personal choice. While the vaccines provide strong protection for the vaccinated, we read about and hear about and we see the stories of hospitalized people, people on their deathbeds among the unvaccinated over the past few weeks. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So now we're blaming those that have chosen not to get the vaccine? We're blaming the pandemic on them? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wish I could have this conversation with the president myself. I would say, well, what about all those that you're allowing in our country, crossing our borders, bringing them in from Afghanistan without testing to see if they have COVID? But you're letting them in, but you're not letting the Christians in that the Nazarene Project and others have rescued? The Christians have to go to other countries and not America? I don't know.
And it's caused by the fact that despite America having unprecedented and successful vaccination program, despite the fact that for almost 5 months, free vaccines have been available in 80,000 different locations, we still have nearly 80 million Americans who have failed to get the shot. For the vast majority of you who've gotten vaccinated, I understand your anger at those who haven't gotten vaccinated. I understand the anxiety about getting a breakthrough case.
Okay, I'm sorry, but people are getting the virus whether they're vaccinated or not. And so people that are vaccinated can get the virus and can give the virus to others, not just the unvaccinated. Come on, Joe.
But as the science makes clear, if you're fully vaccinated, you're highly protected from severe illness. The unvaccinated overcrowd our hospitals, are overrunning emergency rooms and intensive care units, leaving no room for someone with a heart attack or pancreatitis or cancer.
Oh, okay, so now I get it. That's why some hospitals are not allowing patients into the ICU, not visitors, but those that need to be in the ICU that are not vaccinated. So if you're not vaccinated, you're not going to get care. Oh, okay, I get it now. I know I'm being not the nicest here, but I'm really trying to make the point of what is really logical. You know, critical thinking skills, informed consent. So we know the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
So the time for waiting is over. The people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love. My job as president is to protect all Americans.
So this past week, Joe Biden's aggressive push to require millions of American workers to get vaccinated against the coronavirus, which, by the way, you know, is running into all kinds of resistance from Republican governors threatening lawsuits to civil disobedience, which, of course, his action is just now causing further division in our nation. I mean, it's bad enough, the division over wear a mask, don't wear a mask, now get vaccinated. Don't get vaccinated, or better way to say that, it's your choice. According to the White House press release, Biden is, quote, implementing a six-pronged comprehensive national strategy that employs the same science-based approach, they say. I'm reading what they said here from their press release, that was used to successfully combat previous variants of COVID-19 early this year. Their six-pronged approach includes, number one, vaccinating all the unvaccinated. Of course, as you heard Joe Biden said, if you could read between the lines there, that it's the fault of the unvaccinated that these things are happening now. Oh, and by the way, what was I thinking that was the most troublesome?
This is not about freedom or personal choice.
This is not about freedom. This is not about individual choice. That's his worldview. Is that your worldview? Anyway, back to the six-pronged approach. Vaccinating the unvaccinated, further protecting the vaccinated, don't know what that means, keeping schools safely open by having everyone vaccinated, increasing testing and requiring masking, whether you're vaccinated or not, hello, protecting our economic recovery. I'm sorry, but when people that get vaccinated still get the virus, anyway, improving care for those with COVID-19, although he sure did reprimand those that are unvaccinated and end up in the hospital with it. Is he going to improve the care for them or only for those that have been vaccinated but then get breakthrough? Basically, if there's any American who has not yet gotten the vaccine, it means that individual opt-in or not to get the vaccine is no longer a choice.
This is not about freedom or personal choice.
The White House says that they want to reduce the number of unvaccinated Americans by using regulatory powers and other actions to substantially increase the number of Americans covered by vaccination requirements. In other words, as one pundit put it, using the direct or indirect pressure of the federal government, more Americans will be compelled to get the jab, to get the shot, to the point that, quote, these arguments will become dominant in the workplace. And what does that mean? Well, he announced that he will, quote, compel private businesses to mandate vaccinations for their employees if they have 100 or more employees, or face fines of, but here's how much it is, $13,600 per violation. So look, I'm not here to argue. I'm not a doctor. I've listened to a lot of information about it, doctors, virologists, I'm sure just like you have. And it looks like the vaccines are effective, at least in not having to end up in the hospital, which is a good thing. But the purpose of this whole discussion here on Changing Worldviews is the issue of government mandates, overreach, dictating that people have to get vaccinated and have no choice in the matter. It's not constitutional. As a matter of fact, no president has the right to do that. If it were to become law, it would have to go through the legislative process. So this is clearly unprecedented. There is no provision in the U.S. Constitution giving the federal government to legal authority to require businesses to require their employees to get a vaccine. And even if there were, like I said, that would be the responsibility of the legislature. It's a lawmaking function, a power that the president does not have. Presidents can make executive orders to members of the executive branch to implement, but executive orders cannot be used to make law. And these COVID vaccinations, according to the mandates, will be required for the 17 million healthcare workers at hospitals that receive Medicare and Medicaid patients. And let me see, that would probably be virtually all American hospitals, because the acceptance of federal funds in any form can lead to federal control. Well, of course, this is a gross misuse of power. Not to mention, like I said, it's unconstitutional. And with swift response from various governors, such as South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, he says he will fight, quote, to the gates of hell to protect the liberty and livelihood of every South Carolinian. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem says that she's preparing a lawsuit. Well, of course, Biden also came out with criticisms against, well, what he said, he was very disappointed in some governor's response. And I'm sure he was thinking about Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida and Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. So I just want to ask this question. Biden's on the left. This is a leftist policy worldview. So I need to know, what has happened to the war cry of the left, my body, my choice? I mean, those on the left that are saying you got to get a vaccination because if you don't, you're going to kill Americans. So it's okay to say my body, my choice to kill babies, but it's not okay to say my body, my choice. I just do not feel comfortable getting a vaccination. Like I said, I don't know if you've been vaccinated or not, and I don't need to know. It is not my business. They think freedom is something that they can give and take as they see fit. They think they can strong arm private businesses, and if they keep it up long enough, we'll have no choice but to give in. And if we give them that power, we won't ever get it back. Well, one more thing on this before we take a break and take a look at another angle of what has happened in Afghanistan. I know you've heard of the Nuremberg Code. Remember, it was created after World War II in Nazi Germany. And the code aimed to protect human subjects from enduring the kind of cruelty and exploitation the prisoners endured in concentration camps. So let's look at the components of the Nuremberg Code and measure it against Joe Biden's vaccination mandates that he just announced. So here they are. Number one, voluntary consent is essential. No experiments should be conducted if it is believed to cause death or disability. The risks should never exceed the benefits. Subjects should be able to end their participation at any time, and the scientist in charge must be prepared to terminate the experiment when injury, disability, or death is likely to occur. That's talking about experimentation, but why wouldn't it also apply to vaccinations? Greg Kelly talked about this on Newsmax on his show, and he pointed out the long list of side effects of the COVID-19 shots, vaccinations, and they're serious. And there are, well, as Biden said himself, some like 80 million Americans who still have not gotten the vaccination, so they still have not been convinced that they are safe. That doesn't say anything against those that have taken the vaccines. This is definitely about freedom, and it definitely is about choice. And honestly, in my book, this is not about whether you get the vaccine or you don't. This is about government tyranny mandating, telling you what you have to do. So I don't know what you think about this. Leave your comments on my Facebook or Twitter page. I'd like to hear what you think about this. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about Afghanistan, and we're going to talk about terrorists that just recently escaped from Israel, and how what has happened in Afghanistan and the lack of support for Israel from the Biden administration, what is this doing to our greatest ally in the Middle East, and more. Stay with me.
You're listening to Changing Worldviews with your host, Sharon Hughes.
If the 2020 viral pandemic has taught us anything, it is that we need a healthy immune system. 70 to 80% of the immune system originates in the gut. The three patented aloe vera blend and aloe apex is formulated for digestive health and a strong immune system.
My name is Mike. I'm from Lake Carmarit, Mississippi, and I struggle with some digestive issues with the gut for about 4 or 5 years. And I've tried everything. A few things slightly helped, but I tried aloe apex, and it just worked greatly for me. I've been taking it for about a week or two, and I've had no symptoms of what I've had for the previously 4 years. So it definitely did work, and I'm ordering more. Thank you.
Changing Worldviews listeners can buy 3 Aloe Apex at the regular price and get a 4th bottle free. Call us at 833-334-5433, 833-334-5433. And be sure to mention the name Sharon, or visit us at www.aloeapex.com. Our greatest success is your good health.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge. Defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dacus.
The 11th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals has vacated an earlier ruling that favored a trans-identified student who sought to use school bathrooms and locker rooms based on their gender identity rather than their biological sex. Despite school officials giving the student the alternative of using a gender-neutral bathroom, the student filed a lawsuit against the school district on the grounds of discrimination. This could potentially violate the basic privacy of students attending school and could set a precedent for future rulings. Pacific Justice Institute is active in defending parental rights and equipping parents to use their voice in their school districts.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org. Remember the website, pji.org.
So, on September 6th, which is the Jewish New Year, just before Rosh Hashanah, 6 deadly terrorists escaped from the Gilboa high-security prison in northern Israel. And a continuing investigation concluded that the terrorists must have had help from the inside. But even worse is that Israel's security forces, as of this recording, have yet to catch who are said to be armed and dangerous. Well, again, it's the new year, Jewish New Year, and Arabs in Judea and Samaria celebrated the escape by deciding to launch attacks on Israelis. Here's more information on that.
Well, the most important reaction is that the Palestinian Authority is giving its complete support to the terrorists who escaped. They're justifying it. They're literally telling their people to offer aid. There were two editorials in the official Palestinian newspaper, which literally said, if you see them, give them food, give them transportation, do it quietly, don't talk about it. It makes a mockery of the whole concept of security cooperation that the Palestinian Authority has with Israel. When here you have the official newspaper literally telling everybody to help these people to escape. Another very significant response was from Fatah's spokesman, Osama Kawasma. And he said, of course, first of all, quote, Fatah's pride on behalf of our heroic prisoners. They have the full right to take their freedom by force because they are freedom fighters and prison is a place for criminals. Now, why is this so important and what is he saying? The Palestinian Authority ideology is that prisoners... is that Palestinians have a right to kill Israelis at any time, in any place. It's only a function of tactic. And therefore, every single prisoner in jail is a freedom fighter. Every single prisoner should not be in prison. Literally, they say that killing Israelis is justified. They claim it's even justified by international law. And this is a message that the kids get when they're from the youngest children through adults. And that's what's being said here. These people had a right to escape because they shouldn't have been in jail in the first place, even though they murdered civilians, because murdering civilians is something Palestinians have a right to do.
Unbelievable. Well, as regards to Israel and Taliban taking over Afghanistan, this clip from Pulse of Israel has Colonel Kemp on there, and he talks about how the Taliban is one of the most ruthless regimes in history. He talked about, think about Afghans clinging to airplanes, trying to escape Afghanistan, some of them falling off. That's how bad it is. And they were promised freedom from the Taliban by the United States, but we have betrayed them.
The citizens of most Western countries who now face awful scenes that are both devastating for human beings, but also devastating for the reputation of the United States of America and NATO and the rest of the world, the Western world. Because we've now seen, effectively, we've seen Western forces, American forces, NATO forces, British forces, appear to be running away under fire with rocket attacks on the airport, with suicide bomb attacks taking place. That the optics of that are so serious, it couldn't have been worse. It's not going to be easy because we no longer have the same kind of intelligence footprint in Afghanistan as we once had. I don't anticipate British, American, Western forces going into Afghanistan again in any strength. I think that's not going to happen. And I also think that where intervention is needed around the world in the future, that's unlikely to happen as well, because this whole experience will have traumatized all of our governments. I'm talking about Western governments now. Will have traumatized all of our governments to such an extent they will be very reluctant to get into anything like that again. So the key thing from my point of view, the most important thing, is that we do our best to repair the relationships that have been damaged, like the British-American relationship and the whole of NATO, which has been grossly undermined by this thing. So I'm sorry, I can't leave you with much hope or optimism.
So what about Israel and the pullout? The U.S., of course, is the greatest ally of Israel, and Israel relies on the U.S., but this action that Biden has taken in Afghanistan adds to the question now of the extent that the U.S. can be relied upon. Remember Obama, how he empowered Iran? And now Biden? Colonel Kemp went on to say that Iran will see that there is no reason now to not move forward with their agenda. And to make no mistake, Iran will have more leverage in Afghanistan. The consequences of what Biden has done with Afghanistan has not been explained or fully reported to the American people because of the mainstream media, which is trying to cover for him. And Israel right now does not believe that it can rely on the U.S., no matter what Biden says. This has got to be the worst political foreign policy disaster of the West since World War II, certainly since Vietnam and the fall of Saigon. But then again, what about our own fellow Americans left behind? Representative McCaul was on Fox News saying, "We want answers on Afghanistan." Here's some of what he said.
I want to know why they got this so wrong. Why didn't they listen to the intelligence community warnings, the assessment coming out of the IC? Why didn't they listen to their top generals? Why did they go to the politicos in the White House, completely botch this evacuation? Why did they leave American citizens behind enemy lines? Why did they leave the interpreters who worked with our special forces, put their lives on the line that we promised we would save them and protect them? Most of them now have a death warrant, a death sentence on them, and they're being executed as I speak. And then why do we not have any intelligence capability in Afghanistan or anywhere around there to see what's happening? Because just like before 9/11, if you can't see the threat and take it out, the threat's going to come to you. And why can't we see Russia, China, and Iran anymore? This has long-term national security consequences, and I think Secretary Blinken's going to have a lot of answering to do.
You know, and I just got to put this in here because it wasn't highly reported, but did you hear that Afghanistan evacuation flights to the U.S. were paused after diagnosed measles cases? What? Yeah, the Biden administration has temporarily halted U.S.-bound flights of Afghan evacuees after four people who recently arrived in the United States tested positive for the measles. Now, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Friday that the decision to pause the flights was recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, quote, out of an abundance of caution given four measles cases. The individuals who tested positive are being quarantined and a full contact tracing is underway, Psaki said. But if you're like me, it's like, but you're not even testing to see if any of these Afghans coming in the airplanes or those coming across our borders are tested for COVID. I don't get it, ladies and gentlemen. I just don't get it. But I have to go here. And that is, here, 20 years after 9/11, the Biden administration says that jihadists are no longer the greatest threat to the U.S. Something else is. Do you know what it is? I'll tell you when we get back from this break.
You're listening to Changing Worldviews with Sharon Hughes, getting to the heart of the issues and the worldviews behind them.
Is there really modern-day slavery in our country? Yes, and it's called human trafficking. Men, women, and children across America are being lured into this sad reality. Victims are promised jobs, wealth, and opportunities for themselves and their families. But instead, they endure isolation from the rest of the world and are often mentally, physically, or sexually abused. It is important to learn about the harsh reality of human trafficking so we can help end this form of modern-day slavery. A message from the Christian Medical Association.
This month's special offer is the book, How to Overcome the Most Frightening Issues You Will Face This Century, because September is National Preparedness Month. This book has 20 experts in fields of science, politics, warfare, finance, ethics, theology, and much more who offer experienced advice. And you can get your copy just by sending your check to Changing Worldviews, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924. For your $25 donation to Changing Worldviews to help us cover airtime, we'll be happy to send it to you. Thanks for staying with me. Okay, so the teaser before the break was that the Biden administration says, 20 years after 9/11, that jihadists are no longer the greatest threat to the U.S., but guess what is? White supremacy. Current officials say that White House supremacists and far-right militants pose the biggest danger to the U.S. And experts also say that post-9/11 war on terror directly fueled the resurgence of far-right extremism. The Associated Press reported, quote, for years following the September 11th terrorist attacks, the conversation about U.S. national security was dominated by the war on terror. But 20 years later, current and former officials say the war's come home. Now the biggest threat facing the U.S. doesn't come from foreign actors, but from those within the country's own borders And we're not talking about those that cross our borders. They're talking about Americans. When it comes to extremism, they say the focus within U.S. law enforcement and intelligence agencies has shifted to white supremacists and far-right groups. Now, let me just pause here and say there is white supremacy. I mean, events like the deadly neo-Nazi rally in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017 is an example. But the left says that what happened, I'm sorry to bring this up again, what happened on January 6th, the so-called insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, is the same thing. But wait, there were no guns at all on January 6th, what happened at the Capitol, except for the Capitol Police, who killed Ashley Babbitt, former Air Force veteran. Well, FBI Director Christopher Wray in March warned senators that domestic extremism was masticizing across the country. What makes the domestic terrorism threat so insidious is the foundational motivation to undermine our democracy. In June, Attorney General Merrick Garland and DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas told senators that, quote, racially or ethically motivated violent extremists were the greatest domestic terror threat to the U.S., specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race. And though experts warn that extremism may likely flourish in Afghanistan with the Taliban at the helm, the level of threat this could pose to the U.S. is debatable. So they don't see any threat from the Taliban taking over in Afghanistan to the U.S. And then one other, Cynthia Miller Idris, the director of the Polarization and Extremism Research and Innovation Lab at American University, talked about, quote, the resurgence of far-right extremism in a foreign affairs op-ed. In the wake of 9/11 attacks, the rise of violent jihadism reshaped American politics in ways that created fertile grounds for right-wing extremism, and said the attacks were a gift to peddlers of xenophobia, white supremacy, and, here we go, Christian nationalism. What happened on 9/11 with the jihadist terrorists' attacks on America were what? What did she say? A gift to peddlers of xenophobia, white supremacy, and Christian nationalism. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in serious trouble. And, you know, like I say on the show all the time, we need to pray as we never have before. Prayer works. I believe that God hears the prayer of faith. So we don't want to wring our hands. We want to fold our hands on behalf of our nation. And to that end, here's this.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Well, that's it for now. I look forward to our next time together. And until then, I encourage you, stand strong. This is Sharon Hughes from California, saying it like it is.
You've been listening to Changing World Views with Sharon Hughes. You can follow Sharon at facebook.com/Sharon and twitter.com/Sharon. Please take advantage of our online shows covering topics and guests we can't possibly cover on our weekly show. That's why we offer more at our website, changingworldviews.com. Join Sharon next time, and until then, stay alert, stay informed, because we live in a changing world.